This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes again from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Now, this could be a difficult lesson for the average person because in this lesson, Jesus is telling us that we should do good to those who wrong us. The plan that Jesus shared with this part of his Sermon on the Mount is that our desire should not be to keep score, but to love and forgive everyone who hurts us. Let's hear now the gospel reading. Here Jesus is speaking as the passage starts. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and also the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing for others? Do not even Gentiles do the same thing? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here ends the reading of our gospel. And may our God open our ears and our hearts to this, his holy word. May we understand its meaning for our lives, and may we use it this week as a guide as we live our lives each day. Well now, wasn't that an interesting, maybe just a little baffling, gospel lesson? From the beginning to the end of his first and greatest of sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't back off on the lesson he wants all of us to hear. Jesus is giving us the principles that would distinguish those people that would follow him. He gives a profile of what a real disciple should be like. And our Jesus never takes the easy way out. He only takes the honest and direct route. It doesn't matter that the religious big shots, the Pharisees, the holier-than-thous, were just waiting for him to misspeak or to make a mistake, to take him to task. Doesn't matter. Jesus is going to tell it like it is. And from beginning to end, as we witness in the Gospels and throughout the whole New Testament, he always has just a little surprise for us. It's better to be rich, to be poor than rich. The meek shall inherit the earth. Turn the other cheek. Take care of the sick, the lowly, the harlots and sinners. Pick tax collectors and fishermen, common people to be your disciples, not those you would really expect. Jesus was very direct in his teaching. But there's something about this morning's passage that drew all my attention. After all we've heard Jesus say in the Gospel of Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, today's message might just be the frosting on the cake. As I read the gospel lesson, the words natural and unnatural kept coming into my thoughts. As I wondered where God might lead us in this time of meditation today, I couldn't ever really shake those words. And I decided, well, maybe I better get a better idea of just exactly what natural means. So I searched through the pages of Mr. Webster's dictionary, and I found this definition. Regarded as certain to succeed, as in being natural. Fixed or determined by nature, as in a natural strength. Not artificial or foreign, as in a natural ability. Inborn abilities, as in natural gifts and talents. And as I thought about this word natural, my thoughts turned to the Olympics, which we've been watching for the last couple of weeks. I'm sure many of you have watched the Olympics. There's something thrilling and beautifully majestic about athletes showing off their years of hard work and their amazing talents. Something about watching young men and women doing things that you know very well would land you in a wheelchair or in traction. Now, if you're sincere about being an Olympian, you have to structure your life around learning and then constantly practicing for the event that you choose to participate in. And whether they are going at amazing speeds on two narrow pieces of wood, or in today's world, fiberglass, down a mountain packed with ice and snow, and trying to bend around a course of flags that are carefully laid out, or if you're standing on a small waxed board, going up over a slippery, icy, steep cliff, and tumbling head over heels through the air, twisting and turning and landing back on your board, you know, there's something they all have in common. Whether they are competing in a game on skates, dancing to beautiful music and spinning and twirling each other through the air, whether they're going down a very narrow and a very slick path on a sled, or skiing over a rugged course, they all have some natural ability, inborn ability. And there's no faking that. Something inside of them naturally drives them to succeed at whatever they're competing in. There's a sense of balance, an understanding of the body and its movement that helps them to do the best they can at what they do. And though they probably can't give you a step-by-step account or reason for what they do, they'll just tell you, well, it comes natural to me. The key is that with that natural ability, it takes years of practice, years of study and hard work to achieve their goals. Well, then on the other side is unnatural. And I went back to Webster's dictionary, and that definition is to be contrary to nature. To be not in accordance with accepted behavior of right and wrong, artificial or strange. Now, besides old Don being on a pair of skis or ice skates, my friends, there is no better example of unnatural than what I just read in verse 43 of Matthew's gospel lesson this morning. It goes, "You have heard in the law of Moses," it says, "love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you." Folks, for me, that's as unnatural as it gets. How can you love an enemy? It's not natural to love someone that makes fun of you or tries to disgrace or destroy you, or even worse, emotionally or physically tries to hurt you. It can't be normal to try and love someone like that. Natural would be to love your friends and family. Natural would be to look out for your friends and family because they look out for you. Loving friends and family, well, that's just smart. It's a no-brainer. Natural. Now, that would be like the bumper stickers that say, "I don't get mad, I get even." Or, "To err is human. To forgive, that's out of the question." Or maybe, "Please tailgate. I need the money." But then, Jesus goes one step further. And he says, we're not just supposed to force a nice smile and mind our own business when we're hated or mistreated. Oh, no. Jesus says we are to actively try to do good towards those who attack and mistreat us. And verse 48, well, that just takes it right from the improbable to the impossible. When Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that's just not natural at all. What's Jesus trying to tell us? He can't really expect that little old you and I are going to be able to do this. We're going to be perfect? Are you kidding? Be perfect? I don't think so. It would almost seem easier for me to do a 360 twisting triple somersault going 100 miles an hour down a steep, slippery, icy mountain blindfolded than to try to be perfect. Instead of studying the Sermon on the Mount, it seems like Jesus is trying to make us climb that mountain where he gave his sermon. So what really is the message for you and I today? What are we supposed to take from these very unnatural notions that Jesus is sharing with us? And my friends, that's why we're the church. That's the kind of questions that call us to this place, to this sanctuary today. That's why we gather as Christians, as a church family, to hear and to think about God's Word. At first glance, without taking time to think about what Jesus was actually trying to say, we might just shrug it off as an impossible request. Well, that'll never happen. It's a wonderful dream. Oh, it's a great idea. Certainly something that I would love to be able to do, but honestly, you know, seriously, ain't gonna happen. Why, all of us want to be good people. We all want to live right. We all want to do the right thing. But without taking the time to study, to think about it, to understand what Jesus is trying to say, we just slide over the tough stuff. All we really do is try to work hard at doing the fluffy stuff. When we look at what was calling Jesus to share his thoughts of his Sermon on the Mount, why he thought it was important to make these bold and unnatural statements, what message he thought his disciples, the message that you and I needed, it's then that we can get a better understanding of what he's asking us to do as followers, his disciples. In this lesson, Jesus is giving us the principles that distinguish us as those who follow him. He's telling us what it takes to be his disciples and how we are expected, though he knows it won't always happen, but how we are expected to handle life situations in a way that is pleasing to God. Jesus is letting us know that those who follow him must operate under a different set of values, values that are opposite to the world's. Jesus is explaining that a blessed life, a rich life, a pleasing life to God is not found in the getting of things or from the doing of things. It's from the being of things. It's from being a child of God. This message from 2,000 years ago applies to us today because difficult people are a problem for everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are, what gender you are, your personality type, your likes or your dislikes, because, friends, we're all going to meet with difficult people. We can't avoid them. But Jesus is sharing how we as Christians should and can live with them. Today we gather to help each other understand the Christian way to live and to support each other as we go through each new day, each week, each year, living and sharing the gift of love and compassion that God shares with us. And it's important for us to remember, I think, that Jesus surprising us is very natural. That's how Jesus gets our attention. He knows that unless he gets our attention, we're off in our own little world, thinking everything is oh hunky-dory We're doing just fine. But this morning, I want to take just a few more minutes to share some of the insights that touched me this week as I thought about this important message. First of all, in the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth part of the lesson, Jesus already knows our natural reaction when we're wrong is to get even. Oh, come on now. We might as well admit it. We have tempers, and we naturally want to get even. What is unnatural is when he tells us to do good to those who wrong us. With this radical statement, I think Jesus is teaching us not to take the law into our own hands. According to Jesus, it's more important to give justice and mercy than it is to receive it. It may seem unnatural, but as we go about being Christians, I think it becomes natural when we understand that good really does overcome evil. When Jesus tells us to love our enemies, it doesn't seem natural because we've been hurt and abused. What is natural is that the message that distinguishes us as Christians from non-Christians, as much or more than anything else, is the way we treat those people we don't really love. Loving our enemies shows that we're deliberately choosing kindness over bitterness and cruelty. The goal is not necessarily to turn enemies into great friends, but to turn them into people who can love and care and comfort one another. And when we're called to being perfect, if we forget the message we hear each week, if we don't take time to allow God into our lives, then we might naturally assume that, of course, we're perfect. We know all the answers already. But as Christians, we naturally know that in this life, we're never going to be flawless. The only thing we can do is we can try. We can aspire to be as much like Jesus as possible. We can be devoted to God's desires rather than our own. And we can try with all of our hearts to carry God's love and mercy to the world in the best way that we can. What I think Jesus wants us to understand is that if we strive for perfection, if we seek to love others as completely as God loves us, then we're naturally working toward perfection all the time, knowing that we have a lot of room to grow. God calls us as Christians to excel, to rise above mediocrity, to become like His Son. For me, the message this morning is that we as Christians have to work as hard and as long and as steadfast as the athletes who compete in the Olympics. If we want to reach our goal, if we want to reach our goal. My friends of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, we have the good news. The unnatural becomes natural through the life, the teaching, the healing, the living, and the dying that Jesus did on earth. If anyone was abused and beaten and had enemies, it was Jesus. And with his life, he showed us how to love our enemies. Loving our enemies means choosing the best for them, even when we receive the worst from them. Jesus taught us that, like an athlete, it takes hard work to make the unnatural natural. Pray for those who persecute you. Probably the hardest slope you'll ever travel down. But in the end, it might be the best thing you ever did. Share God's love, a love that comes to us from being a part of God's family. And by doing so, we refuse to let our enemies control our behavior, and we give our lives to God. Follow God's example. The rain and sunshine fall on evil and good. God gives blessings to good guys and the bad guys. Jesus, in his greatest sermon, invites each one of us to be good and kind and loving every day to everyone. Blessed be our God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's make it feel natural to go out and love our enemies as well as our neighbors. Because, my friends, the rewards are amazing.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.